I bring to you grace and peace from God our Father through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. The text for today's message is from Mark chapter 10. It's the basis of my sermon, the word that I will use to share this message, Mark chapter 10. And as we come to this word and we consider that identifier in our world, in our culture, that is so powerful, that is the identifier of what is your marital status, that God would shape and form our hearts, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. Father God, relationships matter, and especially the ability to share the most intimate parts of our being. And that typically through the status of being married. We pray, dear God, that you would give us insight and wisdom today about the extent and the limitations of what marriage is for a child of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, to make sure we're all caught up, I am fill in the blank. This is the fourth week we have been at the task of trying to appreciate a little bit more how powerful that statement is. And now I want to, in the closing weeks of this, consider specific expressions or categories that assert things at the end of that phrase. And today, given the text from Mark chapter 10, it is that of marital status. I want to acknowledge for those of you Bible scholars here that I am using Mark chapter 10 as a launch pad. Mark chapter 10 verses 2 through 16, this passage of scripture, is not specifically about marriage and divorce, believe it or not. It is about the kingdom of God being ushered in and executed by God's Son, Jesus. It's about the kingdom of God from beginning to the very end of that 14-verse passage. But yet the topic of divorce and remarriage and marriage, that topic, even though it serves the kingdom of God, it's underneath the larger conversation about the kingdom of God, that topic sucks all the oxygen out of this textual room, out of this passage. And so today I want to use this as a springboard into this conversation. What does it mean to say, I am my marital status? We live in a culture, just again to put some paint on this canvas, we live in a culture where marriage matters. Being connected at a level of intimacy matters. Words may change, marriage, civil unions, this, that, and the other, but that status of being in a committed relationship, it matters to us. It says to us and to each other, there's something in me worth loving. I'm lovable. I'm a lovable guy. And there also is said this, I am someone who does a better than average job of loving on another person. My loving qualities are desirable for the other person to receive love. And that's something when you think about what is at the heart of the statement, I am married. It has to do with the giving and the ability, the receiving and the ability to give love. We live in a society where if you are over the age of blank and you have not been married, it seems to get more and more awkward in the conversations with your peers until you reach a time where the simple fact of mortality begins to creep in, and you start going in the direction of there are more and more singles. I'm not trying to be indelicate. I'm just saying there is that middle-aged space of being unmarried, and if you aren't married, it can be awful. The couple's supper club that meets over at Amigos down, you know, at the cantina here in Kirkwood, it's hard to break in when there's no plus one for you. In fact, the whole conversation about plus one is anxiety causing if you're not married in your middle ages, because plus one is more of a pre-marriage thing. It's like, well, you're too young not to be married, so just bring your plus one. Well, now you're in the middle age and you're not married, and now my plus one really means that in some ways, or at least I feel like, there's something that's a minus in me. Marriage is made all the more difficult in this culture because of all the alternative practices and approaches, if we in our adult conversation understand what I'm getting at. All the alternative practices and approaches are offering. Yeah, to say that I am my marital status is very significantly problematic. It causes us, in some ways, more harm than help. Add to this the topic that's in our text. This could go on for an hour, so just, and this is all the setup, right? The rocket will take off shortly. Add to this the assertion that I am my marital status that formerly was, but now no longer is. I am divorced. Well, we hope it's for cause that he was a complete imbecile, or she went off the rails and was no longer able to be lived with. I mean, fill in all of those rationales for now your current, formerly married, but no longer married, marital status. And you can begin to appreciate more than ever that this phrase, I am, fill in your marital status on your 1040 AEZ, Schedule C, is sometimes the worst part of tax day. And that's saying something. Yes, it taxes us in ways that we cannot comprehend. And the very language, here's my greater point, the very language that we just generally and thoughtlessly use about it can speak volumes. Can speak volumes to other people who are overhearing our insensitive thoughtless talk. Well, Jesus and the Pharisees are having a conversation about all manner of marriage. They really are. The Pharisees come, in fairness to the Pharisees, I love that line, the Pharisees come and they just want to have a quibbling about casuistry. They want to have a deep dive into some details about marital laws and rights and practices. I want you to step back to 30, 40, 50,000 feet and I want you to appreciate that Jesus has no desire to talk about marriage or divorce. Even though he's going to talk about marriage and divorce, what Jesus wants to talk about, this goes back to the beginning of the sermon, is the kingdom of God. And here's the essential question that Jesus puts forward to these Pharisees. The essential question goes like this: are you even listening? Have you been paying attention at all? Do you even care? Or is everything that you're focused on just detailed deep diving and casuistry quibbling? Jesus looks at these Pharisees, and my sense is that what he estimates of them is that they have lost all sensitivity to the heart and word of God. That God is, from the beginning, the creator. And in this present moment that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, he is the Redeemer. The Pharisees, who have buried themselves into all kinds of little bits that come at the end of I am statements, These Pharisees have lost all sense that when everything is said and done, every human being is a creation of God that has creative purpose and value, and that every human being is part of the kingdom movement by which God will redeem them from sin, death, and the devil. Let me share with you a story. This is like the match game. Those of you who remember the match game. In my earlier days, Pastor Seidler was really dumb. How dumb were you? Okay, let's do that again. In my earlier days, Pastor Seidler was really dumb. How dumb were you? I was so dumb. You ready for this one? When Renee and I were first married, and we were having conversations about theological stuff when we were both at the seminary in my final year, and we were talking about heaven, Renee asks this theologian in training, "Hey, Scott, here's a question. Are we going to be married in heaven?" I said, "I don't think so." Bad idea. See, in my seminary days, when you are being trained to get into the quibbling of casuistry and the deep dive of details, you're immediately thinking, that marriage is so. When we get to heaven, we are going to be so consumed with the beatific vision of Jesus. And we are going, blah, 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 Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, wah, wah. And Renee's like, "Are you kidding me? Are you even going to know me?" I go, "I don't know. I mean, it's not a big deal, right? Because we're going to be with Jesus. It's about Jesus." Fast forward. This is an exaggeration now, but Renee has said this to our children. Whenever Connor especially, but Abby or Lauren, come up and they ask a question about heaven, Renee will somewhat interject, more overtly, less so, depending on her mood and what I've done lately. She will say, "Well, honey, just remember, you won't have a dad in heaven." Just remember that. Exactly. It's a true story. Now, I share that story because I do want to get to a larger point. I've modified my answer to "Will we be married in heaven?" And my answer is, "Well, yes, of course, there. I want to spend eternity with you." That's exactly right. Especially on August 11th, the day before our anniversary. So, all that to say, here's my larger point, though. The larger point is, truly, in life, our responsibility is to adorn the lives of others. My calling in being husband to Renee, with all the particular things that marriage does bring with it, but my particular responsibility is to recognize that at her greatest, she is a creation of God, created by God with value and purpose of her own, and she is redeemed by Christ. And my responsibility as her most loving husband, as the one who is most closely connected with her, is to adorn that identity in her. Her responsibility is to do the same for me. In other words, marriage in its intimacy is to be intimacy not around being best friends, although we are, or about intimacy understood in a physical or romantic sense, but rather the intimacy that husbands and wives are to share is to be an intimacy of adornment where the identity that makes them and makes us who we are in the sight of God and redeemed, has been redeemed in the sight of God, that identity increases. To quote a sermon a couple weeks ago, that identity may become more and any other identifying mark in this world, any earthly prop, may become less. What we have done in our conversation about marriage, my feeling, is that we have made marriage an earthly prop instead of a God-given ministry. Does that make sense? We've made marriage an earthly kind of self-fulfilling, self-absorbed prop than a God-given ministry of a man to a woman. And it's at this point, then, that I can transition to those who are not married or no longer married to say this: granted, that kind of romantic intimacy may not be there, and that is a cause for sadness in this world. I understand that. But here is the truth that I need you to hear, is that the ministry of adorning the identity of another human being, created by God with purpose and value, redeemed by Christ from sin, death, and the devil, that ministry continues. It may be to your aging parents, it may be to a niece or a nephew, it may be to a whole scope of friends that depend on you and for which you are the faithful and true friend. You are their peanut butter in life because you stick to them through thick and thin. You see, and that's where I really get worried about I am my marital status going off the rails in this world. And I want to invite you today to remember the Savior who gave us that marital status, the Creator who gave us that marital status, but also the Savior who redeems us from every deviation from it. Does this make sense? With the prayer, as we wrap up, that as you remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to us in the corruption of our I am statements, says to us, "This is why I came, to forgive that self-serving quality in you, to turn you back to the one who gives you identity and stature and standing in the sight of him and with the hope of heaven, where you will come to understand in fullest measure, this is who I am, praise God." For you to remember that this kind of conversation can be translated into other topics and categories as well. And that as we have opportunity in the next couple weeks, we're going to do that. And so as we make our transition to a time where you come and put your knees on the cushions and you offer to God your heartfelt prayer and you receive from God nourishment through bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ and Holy Communion, that you would come and once again confess, "Thank you, God, that above all other things, I am your precious child, created and redeemed by you to be wholly your own." Amen. Heavenly Father, grant us grace as we make this our confession and our faith in the name of Jesus. Amen.